Ladies and gentlemen, it's Benny Hill time.
You know, one of my favorite radio programs is Pick of the Week. But with only 50 minutes at their disposal, a lot of very good shows are overlooked. One in particular. So to put things right, we thought we'd give you our own Pick of the Week.
Last Tuesday in the program today, Peter Vernon interviewed Mr. and Mrs. Grimley, the well-known folk dancers.
Come along, Henry!
Well, hello to you.
Hello, it's wonderful to be here.
Now, I understand that you and your husband have just returned from Scotland.
Yes, we have.
Henry?
Sorry, dear.
You'll have to forgive Henry. He's been eating meat again. Yes, it's quite right, we have, yes.
Well, I can tell by your accent that you're not Scottish. Does your husband have any Scotch in him?
Just a small one, yes. Well, he was nervous before we went on. He had, oh, Scots blood, I see. There he comes from St. Albans.
I see. But I gather he's wearing the authentic Highland costume.
Yes, that's quite so.
Yes. Well, I must say I'm absolutely fascinated by it. The only thing that puzzles me is the tartan of his kilt. Tell me, is it Macintosh?
No, flannelette. 39 and 11 a yard it was. Lovely and warm.
Well, I must say he looks very nice and smart in it.
He does now, but you should have seen him the first time he put it on.
Oh, why?
He was wearing the sporran underneath the kilt.
Oh. I bet that was amusing.
Oh, he was tickled to death.
Now, I wonder if I might ask the age-old question.
Rumour has it that when
Highlanders wear the kilt, they don't wear...
No, they don't. It's quite true, they don't. So I have been told. Henry does, of course, but they don't.
Yeah. Well, that settles that. Now, actually, you've been in Scotland giving displays of folk dancing, I understand.
Yes, we do Scottish dancing, Irish dancing, old-time dancing, modern ballroom, everything.
I believe earlier this year you went to Canada to give a display.
Yes, we did. We went to the Rocky Mountains giving displays to the people living up there.
How interesting. Tell me, did you see the Devil's Gorge?
No, I can't stand watching people eat.
Did you shoot any rapids?
No, I'm a terrible shot. Actually, the only sport Henry and I go in for is golf.
Oh, how interesting. Actually, I play a shocking game.
Really? What game's that? Actually, we meet quite a lot of you BBC people on the links we go to. Last week we saw Kenneth Hormer.
No, I understand Kenneth plays quite a fair game.
If you watch him, he does, yes. Mind you, we don't play that much golf. You know, our main passion in life, of course, is dancing.
Yes, I'm sure it must be. Tell me, when did you first take it up?
It was when I first met Henry. He roused my enthusiasm, you see. Of course, that was many years ago.
Naturally, yes.
Yes, you see, he had trained for the ballet.
Oh, really?
Yes, only a most unfortunate thing happened. You've probably heard of Nijinsky, who could leap 15 feet into the air.
Yes, I have.
Well, one day he came down on Henry. So, you see, all he does now is the folk dancing.
I see. Well, thank you very much. And good luck to you, Henry, this weekend at the Albert Hall.
Yes. I hope this program they've given Henry is correct. Apparently, Henry is being partnered by a Mr. Mick McManus. Still, I'm sure they'll hit it off together. Come along, Henry. Come along.
Down your way, this week visited Dalton Abbott.
From where I'm standing, I can see nothing but farms, fields, and market gardens. And with me is Mr. Drudge, who runs the largest farm in this truly rural part of England. Now, you've lived on this farm all your life, I believe, Mr. Drudge.
It's quite right, sir. I was born here, I married here, and I expect I should die here.
Yes, I believe you even married the girl next door.
That's quite right. I fell for Gertrude the first day I seen her. She was in her garden with her summer bloomers. It's a lovely sight, that was.
Yes. I know that even before she married, she was a keen horticulturalist.
Well, what she done before she met me is her own concern. I never bring the subject up. My old dad tried to talk me out of it. He said, you don't want to marry her. He said, that girl's been took out by every chap in the village.
But it didn't worry you.
Well, it's only a small village.
But I believe you proposed and were accepted 3 days after you met.
That is quite right, sir. And just 1 year after that, sir, the result of our efforts was to be seen in our nursery.
How charming. Was it a boy or a girl?
Rhododendron, sir. With variegated leaves. That's very rare, that.
I believe that your farm is one of the most advanced in the country.
It's quite right, sir. We does what they call modern vegetable growing. Like, for instance, take tomatoes. We specialise in the cubic wonder.
The cubic wonder?
That's special for sandwiches, that is. No unfilled corners with that. Then we grow gin cress.
Gin cress?
That beats watercress, that does. We even feed that to the cows.
But doesn't it affect them?
It gives them hiccups. And that way they churn their own butter.
But what about your leisure hours? I mean, there doesn't seem to be much entertainment in the village.
Well, not really. Well, it don't matter, because I believe in early to bed and early to rise. You see, I gets up with the chickens, I do.
That's a real country saying, that. And I suppose you go to bed with the cows?
No, sir, the wife. Here, sir, I got a picture of it here. There she is, they're feeding the pigs. She's the one with the hat on.
Well, now, perhaps you'd like to choose a record.
Yes, I would. I should like to hear a lovely ballad, Lover, sung by Miss Jan Waters.
Lover, when I'm near you and I hear you speak my name, softly in my ear you bring the flame. Lover, when we're dancing, keep on glancing in my eyes till love's own entrancing music dies. All of my future is in you.
Now, once again, it's time for Benny Go Round with Peter Vague.
Hello there. Here with more movie news is Peter Novel.
Thank you, Peter. Well, the news at home is that at the studios at Boreham Stiff, they are making a film about a neurotic French plumber who spends his life fitting cold taps in Paris hotels. And it's called Freud. Pine Tree Studios are making Beauty and the Beast, starring Peter Lorre. The part of the Beast has not yet been cast. Out at Beacon Park last week during the filming of Cage Me a Cockroach, I was invited to the birthday party of lovely young actress Shirley Ann Fishpond. But, of course, the star attraction was the birthday cake, and I couldn't help admiring the 22 candles that were on the piece I had. That's all for now. More movie news next time.
Well, now, with me in the studio today is the well-known film director-producer, Mr. Fred Scuttle.
Mr. J. Arthur Scuttle, if you don't mind, sir.
Oh, beg your pardon, Mr. J. Arthur Scuttle. Now, Mr. Scuttle, would you tell us about your more recent films?
Yes, sir. My most recent films are all very advanced and highly original, sir. I've done Last Year at Marion Good, Scuttle 8½.
Is that because, like Fellini, you've made 8½ films?
Well, that's the size of my head.
What was the first film you ever directed?
It was what they call a novel vague film.
A novel vague film?
It was based on a vague novel.
Tell me, what's it about?
It is about a demented fish fryer from Accrington. He's very unhappy, sir. You see, his wife doesn't understand him.
So why is that?
She's Norwegian.
What's this film called?
Sunday Night and Monday Morning.
Why Sunday Night and Monday Morning?
It's the only time she lets him in the house.
They don't get on very well.
Oh, they fight like cats and dogs, they do, sir. As a matter of fact, she has only spoken to him 6 times since they have been married.
Bless my soul.
Yes, sir. Now then, sir, one day they decide to take the 6 children for a picnic, you see. And they go to Hanky Park, sir, and there they have what the French call déjeuner sur le herbe.
Which means?
They have lunch on Herbert. Now, sir, this Herbert is an introverted extrovert, you see. He has what we in the trade call an Oedipus complex.
Oedipus?
He hates cats. Now, then, sir, he goes very late one night to visit his mate, who is a taxidermist. And as he arrives, this taxidermist is just about to finish off a Siamese cat. Now, then, this Herbert sees the cat, sir, and he goes berserk. He picks up a stick, sir, and advances towards it. Now, the taxidermist says, "Here, what are you going to do to that Siamese cat, mate?" And Herbert says, "I'm going to give it a Bangkok." See? And he does, sir. He knocks the stuffing out of it, sir.
Now, what is the denouement?
What, sir?
The denouement.
Oh, the upshot. Oh, well, you see, sir, what happens is this furious attack rids him of this hatred that he has of cats. But conversely, by correlation, you see, it instills into him the belief that he himself is a cat.
I see. Does this affect him in any way?
Of course it does, you nit. I mean, the larder's full of fish heads, the bath's full of milk. You see, sir, he never has a bath because, like a cat, he is terrified of water. You see, sir, in his ways, he is exactly like a cat.
How does he clean himself?
With difficulty, sir. Actually, sir, it was that scene... It was that scene, sir, that got us the Oscar.
Wow. The critics liked that scene, eh?
Oh, they did. Donald Zeck said, and I quote, "If I had not seen it with my own eyes, I would not have believed it." And Robert Robinson referred to it, sir, as poetry in motion.
I see. Now, tell me, have you been influenced by any of the continental directors? Chabrol, Truffaut, Ingmar Bergman?
Oh, of course, Ingmar Bergman. I've been greatly influenced by her, sir. And that Italian one, sir, Anthony Onion.
Oh, Antonioni.
Yes, him, yes. As a matter of fact, I was going to write to him last week, sir, and it was rather difficult.
Yes, I think I know what it is. You can't spell Antonioni.
I can spell it, sir. I just don't know when to stop.
Now, what is your latest film?
My latest, sir, is an adventure film which I writ myself, entirely original, called From Moscow with Love. It's about a secret agent called James Pond, or 0017.
You know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but this sounds vaguely familiar.
No, sir, I writ it myself, sir. It come out my own head.
And who's in it?
Mervyn Cruddy, sir, and Zaza Waters.
Well, here now is an excerpt from J. Arthur Scuttle's latest film, From Moscow with Love.
Please take your seats for second launch. This way, comrade.
Thank you, comrade.
Where would you like to sit?
Over here will do by the window, opposite this lady in red.
I'll get the manual, comrade.
Thank you, comrade. Long live the gremlin.
We may have rain late today.
But I do not think it will rain tomorrow.
Red sky at night, shepherd's delight.
In Spain, the rain stays mainly in the plain.
For every door, there is a key.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
You will never find hairs on a duck egg. But you will always find hairs on an ape.
It is only the hairs on a gooseberry that stop it from being a grape.
Don't forget the fruit gums, Mum.
Hands that do dishes can be soft as your are. Here comes the waiter.
Will you order now, comrades?
Oh, yes. I will have a glass of Georgian white with a vodka chaser, stuffed Bessarabian vine leaves, Caucasian shazlik, and a Siberian peach melba.
And you, comrade?
Half a mild and bitter. Brown Windsor soup. Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. Boiled potatoes. Cup of tea with milk. Oh, and some rice pudding for after.
Very well.
You don't think he suspects I'm English, do you?
Of course not. Your disguise is perfect. Oh, James, it's been a whole week since I last saw you. It's been agony.
I know.
Well, you're so handsome, and I love you so very much.
No, I've longed to hear you say that. Say it again.
I love you.
No, the bit about me being out.
Well, you're so wonderful, 0017.
Oh, come, come. Please call me 00.
Very well, 00.
Tell me, any news of Hassan Ben?
I'm afraid not.
You don't think he's gone over to the Russians, do you?
Don't worry. This week I've recruited no less than 3 new agents.
3? Oh, well done. Do I know them?
I don't think so. One is a shepherd, one lives alone in a cottage in Smyrna, and the other works at the mint at Ankara.
Then you mean?
Yes. I have a shepherd spy, a cottage spy, and a mint spy. Oh, but tell me, who shall I contact when I get to Bucharest?
The fat man. He will meet you at the station with a Rolls Royce.
A Rolls Royce in Bucharest? But it will be so conspicuous.
There will be a bubble car in the boot. You will take it out and drive to the aquarium, where the attendant will contact you.
Is he one of us?
Yes, even while he goes to filter the water for the fishes, he is still spying for us.
Then you mean...
Yes. Years ago, filter fish spy. Here comes the waiter.
For you, comrade, brown Windsor soup. And for you, madame comrade, Caucasian shazlik with... Oops! I am very sorry, madame, but a Bulgarian pea seems to have fallen inside the top of your blouse and lodged itself.
Well, don't just stand there. Go and get a warm spoon.
Very well, comrade.
Oh, it's all right. It's nothing, 00.
Great Scott, that envelope you had, it's missing. He must have taken it during the confusion, the swain. I hope it doesn't contain anything important.
Only false information, James.
Oh, you're crafty, you are.
The real information is in the next carriage. Meet me outside my private compartment in 5 minutes. I have plans.
Perhaps I'd better meet you inside.
Why?
I have plans, too.
Oh, very well. You're a cool one, 00. In 5 minutes, then.
Sir, you've lost your lady friend.
And you've lost your accent. Just what are you up to, Comrade Waiter?
Not Comrade Waiter, Comrade, but Comrade Carruthers, MI5.
Great Scott. But I thought you were one of them.
No, I'm one of us.
Then she's not one of us?
No, she's one of them.
It's all very confusing. Who is she then?
She's Olga Tartar-Turban.
One of the underground, eh? I might have known. I wonder how much she knows about Hassan Ben.
Why?
He hasn't been in contact lately. I'll warrant they're holding him prisoner in her compartment and going in after him.
But there are probably dozens of them all armed.
You're forgetting something, aren't you?
What?
They are Russian, but I am British.
Well, 0017, I should like to add my congratulations to the PMs.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, that was a pretty good show. Going in there single-handed and overpowering Knuckles Korsakov, Big Fist Lubitz, Fat Face Chernovitz, and Bushelhead Bronsky.
Yes, they was a pretty tough bunch of girls. I must admit that.
Well, 0017, ready for your next assignment?
Fire away, Skipper.
You will go first of all to Iceland, round up the Greenberger dope gang. On to Mexico, liquidate Mariachi Mike. Then to Sicily and bring in Fingers Fratabini.
Is that all, Skipper?
Oh, you're a cool one, Pond.
Wish me luck, Skipper. Do you mind if I wait for a minute, Skipper?
Certainly not, 0017, but why?
Well, it's raining outside. I forgot my umbrella.
In spite of the counter-attractions of television, radio, films, and dance halls, more books are being read by young people than ever before. And, of course, Paddy Hill and Lofty Vernon are no exception.
Harry?
Yeah?
What are you reading?
Somerset Maugham.
Ah. Who's it by?
Why, Somerset Maugham, it's all his, like, short stories, isn't it?
Ah. Harry?
Yeah?
Read us a story.
What, again? Why can't you read yourself? You can read, can't you?
Oh, yeah, only I like read slow and I lose interest.
All right, what do you want, then? Treasure Island?
Oh, no, not that one.
But you always like Treasure Island.
No, I'd like you to read me The Minstrel Boy.
All right, then, here we are. Here we go. Once upon a time, there was a minstrel boy called Harry.
Hey, Harry?
Yeah?
That's your name, isn't it? Harry.
Do you mind? A minstrel boy called Harry. He was a shy and sensitive lad with a lovely voice to boot.
I know a girl and her name is Hillary. Took her for a walk down by the distillery. Then I ended up in the pillory. There ain't no justice, is there?
Hey, Harry, why aren't we singing at the two-year-old's coffee house this evening?
I'm not going in there no more, Ringo. Last time he was in there, I was accused. They accused me of coming up without paying for me court fee, and I don't like being accused by no one.
Well, did you?
Did I what?
Did you come out without paying for your coffee?
Oh, yeah, but I don't like being accused. Eh?
What are we going to do this evening, then?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, how about going up the estate and seeing the jousting tournament?
Nah, it's only the reserves. I've seen them last week. £4,000 they pay for that outside night. You ought to be flogged, mate. You ought to flog him and get with someone who can see straight. Who's in the stocks this week? Anyone worth it in?
I think it's Big Sam, the blacksmith.
I don't think I bothered him.
Oh, look over there.
Where?
Over there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It's Nellie Gwynn.
Who?
Nell Gwynn, the orange seller.
Oh, she's got some lovely Jaffa, she has. I can see that. But you don't get many of them to a pound.
All right, then, you can stop walking up and down. We've all seen you.
Do you mind?
Yeah, how'd you like to be May Queen this year? I could fix it, you know. I know one of the judges.
You must be out of your medieval mind.
Well, how about coming up to Morris Dance later on and have a jig around the old maypole on it, eh?
Well, it so happens that I have a date tonight with an earl. He's going to introduce me to the king.
Yeah, I bet. What, Charles II and Nellie Gwynne? That'll be the day, won't it, eh? He's getting you out of ears. They're all alike, them earls.
You're just jealous. I bet you've never even met any nobles.
Never met any nobles? You're kidding. My sister's got an earl coming round our house this evening.
I'll bet he's not a belted earl.
He will be if my old man can. What about it, eh? I'll serenade you in that.
Yeah, he can sing and play the lute.
Can he really?
Come on, Harry, give her a song.
Nah, she don't hear me sing.
Oh, yes, I do. Come on.
Nah, you don't hear me sing.
All right, then, if you don't want to.
Well, if you really want to hear me sing, then.
She is so fine, she is so fair, I'd follow my lady anywhere.
Hello, where they all go through this? Here, Ringo! Oh, they don't appreciate good singing, that's what it is.
Yes, sir, I've been watching you. You've got talent.
Honest?
My life, there's gold in them tonsils of yours. You stick with me, boy, and I'll make you the top troubadour in the country.
Straight up?
Tools. All you want's a group of glee singers with pudding bass and haircuts, a couple of sack butts, a pizzicato, the vial, and we'll have a new sound. Here, where'd you come from?
Liverpool Street.
We'll call it the Liverpool Street Sound. Yes, son, before you know it, you're going to be rolling in it. You're going to be rich, mark my words.
Yeah, well, what do you get out of it, then?
All I want is 50% of the loot.
You're not cutting my loot in half.
Oh, my life, come on.
So Harry the minstrel went off to the baron's house, and he practiced and practiced and practiced.
Let's have it again slowly. Remember what I taught you.
Oh, yeah. She is so fine. She is so fire. I'd follow my lord.
Great. Now, don't forget a bit of leg wobble and the finger clicking, and just a little more mumbling, and then you'll be ready for the road.
So off they went, and Harry the minstrel sang all over the country, in alehouses, in barns and village halls, and even sung for the Norman Armed Forces bases. Until at last he realised his life's ambition, the Paradium. He went on straight after Beat the Sundial, and he was a big success, and he lived happily ever after.
Come to see those eyes. Long to hold a hand. Long to hold a tight. And I long to kiss the dimple
underneath the windfall.
She is so fine.
She's so fine.
She is so fair.
She's so fair.
I'm all of my life.
All of my life.
I should have read him Treasure Island.
That was Benny Hill Time with the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fenelay, the Michael Sam Singers, Peter Vernon, Jan Waters, and Anthony Sharp. Benny Hill Time was written by Benny Hill and produced by John Brown.